Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 2, ending in verse 16. Whether it be in church, in our government, in creation, and in culture, God says that in all things, things are to be done decently and in order. This is an important text to understand in today's climate, where we are constantly being berated with confusing and unbiblical views on the roles we are to have in the home and also in the church. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 2.
He could have easily created man and woman at the same time. In his infinite knowledge and wisdom, he created man first. Everything's good, everything's good, everything's good. Go back and read Genesis. All of a sudden, God goes like this. It is not good that that guy is left alone. So y'all that are here today that are a lady and you're getting a little offended here tonight, you should be encouraged that God says he can't be by himself. I think if he created the lady first, he'd be like, she's good. Like, she's good, right? But he creates the man first, and I don't even care. I will testify first, man. I am so thankful that he brought that bride from his side to be a helpmate, to be a helper to him, because he couldn't do it, not even for a day, by himself. And all the men in the congregation said, amen, amen. I would never not want to have a wife. It'd be rubbish. It'd be horrible. I don't want my Lord misrepresented. I am not going to let you out of here thinking that Jesus is chauvinistic. He's the one who gave women their rights more than anybody. Before he stepped on the scene, women were slaves. Women were possessions. Women were regarded as inferior. You know, in the culture, like Greek, Roman, Jew, go study history. If a man found out he had a girl, he barely celebrated. When a man found out he had a boy, a namesake, and a worker, that's why, you know, when he knew he had that, he rejoiced. So Jesus steps on the scene and he made us all equal in that realm. But even still, there's got to be an order. We go back to the Godhead. Jesus is co-equal. Jesus is co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. But he willingly submitted himself to the Father's will to accomplish the Father's plans. I feel a clarity in my preaching. I feel an anointing right now. I hope that it's flowing through and that you're receiving this. This is helpful because it removes all boasts from the men. We got nothing to boast in. 2/3 of verse 3 is heavy. We have a head. We're not alone. Our head is Jesus. As Jesus has a head, that's the other part of the 2/3. And his head is the Father. How are we doing, guys? That will keep us busy till we get home. So he's saying in these verses, very simply here, that the woman is the glory, the outshining of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. I'm in verse 9 now. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. She was created to help him. Now it says, for this cause, verse 10, ought the woman, you thought that the whole study was strange? This is strange. For this cause ought a woman to have power. The word power there in the language is authority. I believe it's speaking of the sign of the husband's authority here. It says this in verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have authority on her head because of the angels. Okay, so listen, this gets a little strange. Angelos is the word. It's used in two ways in Scripture. One is like those supernatural beings that they are, that were there and watched creation, that Job speaks of in Job 38, I think it is. And those who are ministers of the Lord, they can manifest themselves in a lowly state to us. And then we're told, be careful how you entertain angels in Hebrews. They show up at church. Maybe we got one here tonight. Kind of scuzzy, kind of dirty, looking homely. Maybe I'm one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just making sure I got you with me. And they, be careful how you treat them, because the Lord says they could be one of my ministering spirits. Isn't that interesting? They could be among us and we don't even know it. I just heard of a car accident recently from one of our congregants. Somebody pulled over and helped her. It could have been a deadly crash. And then the person that had everything needed to help the young lady who was in the accident just kind of was gone, vanished. Was it an angel? I like to believe, yeah, I think it was, that the Lord dispatched an angel for his daughter's well-being. That's part of our comfort. We have guardian angels. The Bible speaks of these things. Could be that angel. Could be that angel. They look down, we're told in Galatians, in bewilderment that God has relationship with us. They can't believe grace. Can you? Some of you haven't been here in 30 years. You showed up tonight for this, all just to hear this point right here, that God loves you and accepts you the way that he did when you were here 30 years ago. And the angels hear me say that, and they hear the triune God in glory, amen in that, because that's biblical. And they're looking at God and maybe looking back down at us and thinking, what in the world is going on? They've never been redeemed. They've never been saved. We have. So they are bewildered by grace. So is it that type of angel? Maybe. The other type of angel it could be speaking of, the other word for angelos that's used in scripture is speaking of human messengers. We see that in Revelation 2 and 3, the letter to the seven churches. And to the angel of the church of Ephesus, that's messenger, the heralder of the scripture. In Malachi, that last Old Testament prophetic book, it speaks of the coming messenger in reference to John the Baptist. And Haggai 1:13, another minor prophet, he speaks of himself as the Lord's messenger there. Matthew, Luke, Mark, the synoptic gospels, when they speak messenger, they're speaking of human messengers. So is it speaking of the human messengers, or is it speaking of angelic beings? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Here's what we're to take from this. You have eyes on you, watching you, and the Lord says the optics matter. There you go. You have eyes on you, bride of Christ, at your workplace, in your home, with your grandkids, with your buddies on the golf course, wherever you find yourself when you're not here. The Lord says this to you, you got eyes on you. And the optics matter. That hits deep. I got four sets of eyes in the form of my children watching me. That's the weightiest for me. And more is caught than taught. They just don't really give much of a hoot about what I say. They're watching me. They're looking at me. That haunts me daily. And the optics, my Savior says to me, I got to go home and wrestle with this. The optics of what I put off for them to behold matter, says the Lord. Yeah, but I got a freedom, or I got a right, or in this instance, I'm the dad. Who are they? Listen, the optics matter. Your rights, secondary. Your liberties, secondary. What matters most is that I'm not a stumbling block for other people to come to Jesus Christ. That's the principle. Nevertheless, we look to land this plane here tonight. It says in verse 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without or independent the woman. Thank you for saying that, Paul. It's very helpful. Neither is the man independent of the woman. Neither the woman, King James is using without. It's better translated independent. Neither is the woman independent from the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things come from God. So in other words, not one of you men are in this world without a woman. A lady brought you in. Can we still say that in 2022? Only a lady can bring you into the world. A biologically born lady. Only she could bring you into this world. So without a woman, a mother, you don't exist. But ladies, you need the man to make the baby. Again, the Lord here in this text, I can't apologize. He's upholding two genders. They're distinct and they're God-ordained. Nevertheless, neither are without the other in the Lord. That's what it tells us. But all things come from God. So judging yourselves, verse 13, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself, verse 14, teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a shame to him? Come on, listen, you're not going to find that anywhere else in Scripture. This is a cultural thing. You got the Spartans. You got the Nazarite vow, to be biblical for a moment. This is nuts. People use the most ridiculous things as a point of argument from Scripture, and it drives me crazy. It's not what it's saying here. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory for her hair is given her for a covering. Listen, here's how he closes. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. You know what he just said there? King James makes it sound really sweet. Don't argue with me. He says there in verse 16, don't argue with me. What I'm saying to you is real simple. We want people to know Jesus, number one, and we want people to listen to you, number two. What he's doing in those final verses, 14, 15-ish, what he's doing there is he's simply making clear that traditionally, naturally speaking, boys have shorter hair and girls have longer hair. When they're really young, both have nice heads of hair. But as they get older, guys' hair either falls out or it gets kind of gray and stringy and gnarly. Where a lady's hair kind of just has a flow to it, there's something nicer to behold. And I think what we're supposed to see here is simply this. The Bible affirms two genders. And there's this exhortation at the close. Hey, guys, while I'm speaking to you of this whole head covering thing and the distinction between the roles and the order of the home and in the church, men, be the man. And ladies, be a lady. That's what I believe that this is saying to us here. And watch this. And don't make it confusing. So don't wear a dress with your nails painted. Like, have some boundaries here for the love of God, literally. Like, don't make it confusing. Don't let it be. Men should be men and women should be women. I grew up with two brothers. I was one of the brothers, so three of us, and one sister. Instinctively, we are different from childhood. Okay, before Daniel came along, I was Joelle's little brother. She dressed me up once in one of her little doll outfits, whatever, when I was a baby. My father, let's put it this way, she never did it again. Before Daniel was around and able to play, she would convince me to play with her and her Barbie sets, and she'd give me the red hot rod convertible. And I got to, as long as I didn't run over her Barbies, because I always wanted to run her Barbies over, as long as I didn't do that, she said I can make my motor noises. How come nobody has to teach a little boy to do, you know, make these sounds and fighting things and stuff? I just saw something tonight of another boy, you know, growing up in a home with all girls. He's a little guy, he's the youngest. And they just went to some American Doll place. And when he got home from the American Doll place, he took his Spider-Man action figure and he put like toilet paper around the head and one of his sister's little skirts around, you know, the body of Spider-Man. He said to his parents, this is my, you know, American Doll. And he's making it like fight in a skirt because he doesn't understand. But the distinction is there in his brain. Spider-Man, fight, even though there's three sisters. But the girls are gentle. The girls are dainty. The girls play. Feed it. Let the boys be boys and let the girls be girls. That's what the Bible's saying. There should be a lot more. If you love the Word of God in the Bible, there should be a lot more like, yeah, that's it. That's it. This is where we've gone wrong. Everyone that is made is fearfully and wonderfully made with great plans and purposes of the one that you are an image bearer of. He's got steps for you to walk in. He loves you, and he says, I made you the way that I made you. Embrace it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to convolute it. Don't distort it. Let it be what it's supposed to be for God's glory. Don't mess with these things. That's sort of how he closes here. Funny, I heard this story of this young kid. He wanted a car. So he went to his dad, and he's like, Dad, you know, I'm about to be 16. He's like, you always promised me that if I worked hard, got good grades, you were going to help me get a car. He said, well, here's the deal. He said, you need to cut your hair. The kid had long hair. He said, you've got to cut your hair. It's down to your shoulders. You look like your sisters. So the kid said, I don't get it, Dad. Even Jesus probably had long hair. And he said, well, yeah. Jesus also walked everywhere. So you could pick and choose here what it is that you'd like to do. Listen, I leave you with this tonight, a specific thing that abides for us. Because the hair thing and some of these other cultural things, not so much. And by the way, this isn't a study specific to the veils or to the head coverings. It's about principles. And the way that we leave here tonight, and this is what abides, it's the word of the Lord, it's eternal. This is what the Holy Spirit would have me close with tonight with you, is that men, we have a head, and that is Christ. We have a head, and that is Christ. Men, contrary to what we seem to think so many times, aren't independent. Can I say that one more time? Men aren't independent. We have a head, we have a lordship that we are to submit ourselves to, and not when we get married. Listen, ladies, if you're here tonight and you're single, the first thing you should be looking for in that prospect of a guy is his head Jesus Christ? If you try to missionary date, if you try to help him make Jesus his head, it is going to be problematic and probably even abusive eventually. I've been in this for so long. I've watched it since a boy. I watched my parents counsel people, and I've been doing it now full-time since 2002, 20 years. And I've watched over and over and over again a lady out of desperation, all her girlfriends are hooking up, or she's sick of being lonely. It's a quieter life as a Christian. You're not going out on the weekends. I've watched her settle. Or I've watched her engage with a guy who says, yeah, I'll go to church with you. How about this? How about he's already going to church? How about he's already pursuing the Lord long before you show him that you have interest too? The number one thing, ladies, for the guy that you're looking at potentially is that his head is Christ. Guys, our number one thing that we should leave here tonight is checking ourselves. Jesus, are you my head? My bank account is not my head. My 401k is not my head. My security in this world is not my head. The government is not my head. Okay, whatever I'm gonna come up with right now, sports that touches deep for me, success, these things aren't my head. Jesus Christ is. He's my head. And if I keep moving toward him, I'm gonna move toward my bride, who's my number one. And I'm gonna keep moving toward my children, who are my number two. And I'm gonna keep moving toward y'all, right? That's how it goes. There's an order here. Christ is the head. Make sure, guys, you leave here tonight with that, that Christ is the head. The second thing that abides, I believe, principally speaking, is that the confusion of the sex is wrong. And we are not to be condemning to the generation. Our kids are in school with kids in elementary school who are identifying differently than how God created them. We're not going in there and teaching our kids to go in there with heavy hammers, slugging and trashing people and condemning. We're going in there with the love of Jesus Christ. We're going in there to love the world the way that Jesus loved the world and help people understand that you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. You're not an accident. All these kids are growing up in fatherless homes. You know the statistics? They're growing up in fatherless homes, and they're lost. They're trying to find love and acceptance anywhere and everywhere that they can. They'll reduce themselves so low, and the devil laughs. These people are not to be stones thrown at them or condemned or ridiculed. They're to be loved with the love that Jesus has shown you. I'm not trashing these people. I'm saying we got to love them. They're lost. Look what the devil's doing to them. These are image bearers. And they need to know that. But we need to know what we believe so that we're anchored in the process. And ladies, God has given you your husband as your head. Principally speaking, we pull from this tonight. And we say to ourselves, and I'm not a lady, so I feel like I don't have a lot to say on this. But we say to ourselves, God help you all as you are married to an imperfect man. Don't put your expectation in a man, any man, because any man will fail you. Only Christ alone will never fail you. Let your full expectation be in Jesus and pray for your husband. Try not to belittle him. Try not to size him up. Try not to compare him. Oh, if you were more like Pastor Larry, he's so gentle and kind, but yet manly with that big beard. I just, you know, try not to do that. That's a total turnoff. Reverence him, Respect him as best as you can. And if he's not deliberately leading you into sin, hang in there. Just keep showing him that respect, man. Keep showing it. And like Sarah, right? Like that's what Peter says. With your meek spirit, with your gentle spirit, seek to woo him to Christ. But there's such a beautiful order that's found in this passage. I think it destroyed, by the way, the whole notion and mentality that Christian marriage is inequality. I hope you saw that tonight. That there's like this, oh, if I've heard the vows at these Christian churches, I know how this goes here. They esteem the man and they demean the woman. No way. Four times the New Testament quotes the idea of marriage union. Leave, cleave, and become one. One, just like Jesus and the Father, we close this thing full circle. Just like they are one, John 17, so are husbands and wives to be one. Fused together. You know what fusion is? The smashing of atoms together. And sometimes that's what marriage feels like. We're getting smashed together. But what it is, Jesus says, is two lives becoming one life. And there is this equal value that the Bible teaches. I want to be on record saying this. There is equal value in a Christian marriage. There is equal dignity to be given in a Christian marriage. There is to be equal respect. That's the idea of a Christian marriage. To be each other's helpmate. Correspondent is the Hebrew. God gave Adam a helpmate. Somebody who he can correspond with. Not from his head, superior. Not from his feet, inferior. But from his side, his equal. Amen? Hey, praise the Lord. Next week we got communion. We all need it. And we will look at the Corinthians getting drunk at the Lord's table. Pray for me. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the instruction that you've been faithful to give to us. We love you, God, and we lift this closing song of worship to you. We'd be so lost without you. I mean, honestly, Lord, we'd be so lost without you. In every which way of life, we would have no clue what to do. So we're so grateful that you stooped to our levels once again and you established order in the church, order in the home, the family institution. It matters so much to you, God. Let us all be men and women that pursue you in your word and honor you above all else. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all of God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Let's stand and sing to the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.